We hope you can hear out there, because we think you should be able to hear at this point. Well, we'll be starting in a few minutes, but as you can see, there's no fireplace in the background. We are outside at the church. This is where we're going to do it next week. Our outdoor service, except people are going to be here next week. We just got our skeleton crew here this week, so we're getting excited about having this outside. We'll probably move the pulpit so it's not in the sun next week, but other than that, we've got a beautiful amphitheater here that is kind of interesting. It's a little sloped upwards, just a little bit. We got shade all around us. We've even got some sun if you want to sit in the sun next week. So there's a lot of positive things about this place right here. Now, we're going to have in the background some noise from the cars going by, but it's Sunday morning, so it shouldn't be too bad, but we'll see. It's not a windy day, so we don't expect any wind, so we're going to want input from you this week about how this sounds, how this looks, and what we can do to make it better next week. But we're looking forward to this, so we'll be starting proper like we always do at 10 o'clock. And maybe our camera woman will want to pan the area just so people can see where they can sit and see some of our illustrious visitors.
Well, there's some strangers.
Yep, there's lots of shade, as you can see. Lots of room. And you're going to be able to hear way up, way far away, so you can socially distance as much as you want to socially distance. You could be out by the road and still hear. We actually have an area over... if you know where the road is behind the church, we have an area there that for if we've got people who are in the staff it's going to be too much for, can actually park over there. The negative side is there's a slight downhill, but it's not much. So it'll be a shorter walk, but you're going to have some downhill. So you can decide, or you could park, you know, closer over there behind the building, and it'll be a shorter walk and you won't have...
Good morning, Calvary Church. And welcome to all who are tuning in on Facebook. I know you don't recognize me without my mask on, but I promise you, it's me, Paulette. So I am looking forward to meeting many of you next week. So as you know, as Pastor had said, and yes, that was him with the mask on, next week, or yes, next Sunday coming, we are going to be gathered here outside to give glory unto God our Father as a community of believers, and even if you don't believe, we would love to have you come out and join us. Now, I was thinking about when Pastor asked me to come out to be here with you guys today. I was so excited, because let me tell you, being home every Sunday, and even though it's a great opportunity to be able to hear the sermon and gather virtually, I'm not seeing my loved ones. And so it is just so wonderful to be out here to share this time in person, you know, with Nate and Karen and Pastor and Rich. That's the few of us that are here today. And I can't wait to see the rest of my loved ones. So I hope to see you next week. So when we come together next week, we're going to be doing a lot of celebrating, because it is, as you can imagine, it's going to feel like a party, I'm telling you, because we're going to celebrate our regathering, coming together as a church body again. We're going to celebrate our high school and college grads. They didn't get that typical graduation or the notice that we tend to give them in service, so we're going to recognize them next week. And yes, Father's Day, we're going to celebrate our dads who are here with us, and our dads who are even gone. We have great memories for those who lost their fathers, of our wonderful fathers. And please, bring your mask, a lawn chair, or a blanket, whatever makes you comfortable, and come and sit with us and worship God, the Father. I'm going to read Psalm 68, verse 3 as our opening passage, and it says, "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. yea, let them exceedingly rejoice.
Amen.
There really is a reason for us to praise God. God is so good. He has done so many wonderful things for us. And He is Creator God. And so we need to rejoice and be glad in Him, because the one thing that He did when He died, Jesus died on the cross, was He gave us eternal life. And that is a praise thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So why don't we right now, as we're about to, the pastor's about to come to give us the word, why don't we, wherever you are, close your eyes and lift up your hearts unto Holy God. Wonderful Savior, blessed Redeemer, our Lord and our God. We are so thankful to you, dear Savior, for this another opportunity to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are the truth. You are the way. You are the light. Almighty God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just be with us today. I pray, dear God, that every word that comes from Pastor will be from your Holy Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that lives will be transformed today. Wherever people are sitting today, congregating in front of screens, phones, that hearts will be touched today and be glad because they were present here to hear your word. And I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. And wherever you are, we all say,
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Frank Irvine. I'm pastor here at Calvary Church. Oh, we're okay? Yeah, I'm pastor here at Calvary Church. And for the last, 3 months or so, it's been myself and our camera woman on Sunday mornings, a.k.a. my wife, Karen. And that's all we've had. And it's just nice just to see some other people today. So I'm so looking forward to next week when hopefully our hills will be filled, not to over 150, but hopefully we'll have a good filling here. And we got this natural amphitheater. So I'm so excited about next week. This is a dry run for our outdoor service. Next week we'll have people. So we want your feedback. How does it sound? How does it look? Tell us what we need to do better. This is our live stream test for next week, which we'll continue to live stream. And next week, we're going to include the music, so the service will look like almost like we normally do when we're inside. So what I want to do this week is merge a couple of things. We were in a long sermon series about biblical communication, and then I interrupted it as current events dictated. So we started talking about racial reconciliation and having conversation. So what I want to do today is bring those two topics together. I want to bring them together, what we've learned in biblical communication, and use those precepts from God as we have conversations about race. God wants us to engage. There's no question about that. That's what fellowship is, really. Fellowship is not, hey, how about them Yanks? Fellowship is what's going on in your life. How can I be praying for you? How can I care about you? So God wants us to have these tough race conversations at this point. But He also has given us tools to use to guide us and have healthy conversations. And that's what I want to talk about today, the tools. And it's important. I want to make sure you understand this is a start of a conversation. This is the start of a conversation about conversation. Now, I came out of the closet a couple of weeks ago, and I let everyone know, I know it's going to come as a surprise, but I let people know, I am a white man. I know that could be surprising for some of you, but I am. And so I have a bias as I present this information and what I've learned. I've listened to a lot of people, so hopefully it's but I don't have the whole what would I want to say, the right roadmap. So if you hear something today you could add to or you want to change a little bit, let me know, because I think we want feedback on this, and we want to share with each other how to have this conversation. And I've learned a lot in my conversations with people over years now. I learn a lot, and I found that people of color appreciate me asking how they feel. And I just, the way I start these conversations, hey, how are you feeling right now about what's going on in our country and what you see on the news? Simple question like that, just to get things going. I talked to a UPS driver who I've never saw before, an African-American that dropped off a package. And he sat and he talked, a UPS driver talked for 20, 25 minutes with me. We had our battery died. We had a AAA guy come. We talked to him the whole time he's working. He kept stopping. And he was appreciative of us asking about this. I've talked to neighbors, people just walking by that I've chit-chatted with. So these are important conversations to have, and and I think the other thing I want to say too is, I think it's important for white people to start these conversations. But if you're a person of color, don't be afraid to ask white people too, because about how they're feeling, because this affects us all. And in some ways, the light is shining on white people more than ever. So there's other things to consider. So these conversations are healthy for all of us. So some of the biblical counsel on how to have conversations about race. I want to pray. Lord God, I just pray that your counsel will come through today. I pray that whatever I say that is not of you, that people will forget. But those things, Lord, that are of you, I pray that they would go deep into people's hearts, starting with me, Lord. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Now, the first passage I want to look at, short, is James 1:19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, let's start with quick to listen. Now, you've got two ears. One ear, what I recommend for one ear is to do what we said and to listen for events and facts, things that are objective that you can't argue with. What happened? When you're talking to people in a conversation, listen for events and facts. Ask confirming and clarifying questions. They're very powerful. Say, you know, okay, this is what I understand you told me, and feed it back to them. Or ask, go deeper. Say, you know, you said this particular thing here. Can you go deeper into that? Or how did that work? Or what did that person say or anything? So go deeper with the person. And we talked about those things. Now, also listen for new categories. New categories as you speak to people. For example, a new category for you might be, I have to walk out of stores with my receipt in hand, in my bag, not in my bag, but in hand, so that I don't get stopped, because I routinely do if I don't. Now, that might be a new category for you because that's never happened to you before, but it can be commonplace for somebody else. New category. Here's another new category. We talked about this a few weeks ago, black men with their sons, having to have the talk. And that's about the birds and the bees. This is how to react when you are stopped by a policeman. The talk. You know, you may never have felt the need to have a talk like that with your son. New category. Here's an instance that happened in our family I guess it was last year. We were up in the Adirondacks. When our family gets together, you know, we usually get a house, or we're at somebody's house, and we're all together, and we just enjoy being with each other. And quite frankly, we just like sitting around and shooting the breeze and laughing and talking. But we do like our treats. We like our food, and we're also on vacation and lazy. So you'll hear a lot of times the phrase, I'll buy if you fly. In other words, if you go and get it, I'll pay for everybody's dinner or ice cream or whatever. So, and you know, I've given out my credit card to my kids. It's something you do as an adult parent, and said, hey, just go get this. So I have a son-in-law, Floyd, who is an African-American, and he was the one that brought this up. So I said to him, Floyd, I'll give you my credit card. If you fly, I'll buy. And he said to me, and he said, this is in the Adirondacks. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, as the only black man in the Adirondacks right now, I am not going to go into a store with a credit card with somebody else's name on it. Sorry, I am not going to do that. New category for me. The other thing is, maybe there's some categories that you did that people might think might be a new category for you, but they're not. For example, for me, maybe somebody tells you that they were beat up by a gang or a group of people from another race and that affected them. I can adhere to that. On Christmas Eve, when I was 15 or 16 years old, I was riding the bus home from Rochester, New York, down home, and four African-American teenagers surrounded me, trying to get my wallet, and when I wouldn't give it to them, they maced my eyes. This is Christmas Eve. They maced my eyes and ran out. Okay, so that was something that happened to me. And, you know, you may have similar instances. And so now you have a frame of reference that, you know, I can understand why you feel that way. You know? So listen for events and facts. With the other ear, so events and facts with this ear, the other ear, listen and watch for feelings and interpretations of events. Feelings and interpretations of events. So an event or facts, you can't argue with, but how you interpret those are subjective. It's a subjective thing. And so listen for that. We were talking the other night, myself and Phil Parker, the other elder, we met with a group of black men from our church. And one of the things that came up is one of the men said, you know, the problem with police interactions is men generally, we're not built to be submissive. Now, I think that's part of our sinful nature. We're not meant to be submissive. And in addition to that, men really don't like to be disrespected. That is a big thing for us. So if you have a policeman who's disrespecting you, that's why a lot of the interactions go bad. Never thought about it. That was his interpretation of events. So listen for those things. And as long as we're talking about listening, listen to challenging voices. I want you to listen to challenging voices. Read blogs, read books, listen to podcasts that you know you're not going to agree with. Go ahead and do that. Challenge your thinking about things in this area. Listen to someone who you know you're not going to agree with. I have a good friend. He's grown to be a good friend. He does sensitivity training. He's an African-American. I meet with him. I haven't met with him in a while, but he's put together some interaction sessions with black men and white men, one at our church, in fact, and I've met him with him one-on-one. He challenged me to read this book here, Waking Up White by Debbie Irving. And it's a very well-known book. I had heard about it, has got mixed reviews. She's an uber liberal, very rich, comes from old money around the Boston area, Boston suburb, and she's obviously white. And she wrote this book, and I knew I wasn't going to agree with it, but he said, I want you to read it. And I did. I took copious notes. And this friend of mine, we had two very long breakfasts discussing everything. Now, she didn't win me over to her side of the argument, but I will say she opened my eyes to some things that I had never thought about. And so I started thinking about some things differently in this particular area. So I challenge you to do the same thing. Now, something I learned in seminary, which I want to pass on to you, is in seminary they teach us to make decisions about theology. And so you have, you know, this theology and that theology. And one of the things that they impressed upon us is, if I'm reading somebody who's critiquing that theology and I'm taking a position, I can't quote this person about what this person thinks. They made me have to go and I had to interact with the person out of what they wrote, what came out of their mouth, not the skewed or the biased or the, you know, the snippet. I had to do that. That's good in this area. That I want to bring to the thing here is I want to challenge you to whatever you hear on Fox or CNN or whatever you read, challenge that being true. There's snippets that we're just not getting, that we're not getting the whole story. For example, the other night they had a college professor at Cornell who had a blog about that he was against the Black Lives Matter political party. And he said he was put on Fox about how he wrote a blog, and what they were saying was he got accosted, he was just making a statement, and it was unfair, and they were trying to silence him on the issues, you know, killing free speech. So I said, okay. I went and read his blog. Well, here's a college professor of law, and he said some pretty incendiary things with no backup. And he said them in a nasty way. It wasn't a scholarly type blog at all. And so I can understand why people, you know, I expect different from a college professor. I expect him to make an articulate argument. If he's going to say that, it's got to be articulate. And you know what? He started it. He did. With his the way he said things, with no proof to back up anything. Now, maybe he said what he said was true. I don't know. But the way he said it just was not good. So, again, go for yourself and read. So that's, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Then verse 7 says, a time to be silent and a time to speak. My opinion, right now, it is a time for all of us to listen to each other. You know, later, we could push back and debate the issues. But I think everything is so raw right now, I think we should just listen to each other. Now, we're gonna have plenty of time to push back on each other and to debate things and have a good reasoned discussion. But I think we need to listen and learn from each other at this point. My opinion. And then lastly, slow to anger. Slow to anger. We had talked about anger has two points to it. One is the experience, what I feel when something happens to me. And then the other thing is what comes out of us. How do I express my anger? So here's what I'm experiencing. Everyone, I think, is experiencing anger about something that's going on in the world right now. I'm on pretty firm ground believing that. But here's what I would say to you. Channel your anger into doing something positive. Channel your anger into doing something positive. Put your anger to work in a positive manner. So we've got quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Next one is Matthew 7:3. These are out of the words of Jesus himself. He says, why do you look at the speck? This is Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plaque in your own eye? Jesus is saying, before you go and try to take a little speck out of somebody else's eyes, you know, make sure you can see clearly. Make sure you have all of the information. And he's talking about here, if you're going to correct somebody for what they're saying wrong or doing wrong, make sure you can see clearly so that you're sure that what they're doing or saying is actually wrong. So in this area of race, I want to encourage you to make sure you see clearly. Number one, no one person speaks for their race. I mean, that seems pretty obvious, but it's not. People are like snowflakes. Everybody is different. So no one person speaks for their race. No one on TV, no one at a protest, no one in a conversation that you might have. Don't think that all white people think what this guy thinks or all black people. For example, you know, they had, the Minneapolis mayor was at a protest. And they were chanting and yelling. And a woman asked the mayor in Minneapolis and said, are you in agreement that you are going to defund the Minneapolis Police Department? And he said, no, I don't think I can. And she said, get the F out of here. And they all started screaming and yelling and everything. Don't think that everybody agrees with what she did and how she said it. She didn't speak for the whole race, and neither does he. So I just think about that when you talk to people. And again, no one's actions represent the entire race. No one's actions represent the entire race. You know, we all watched
a couple of weeks ago with the protests turned violent and there were some looters. But I want you to think about this for a second, especially if you have no African American or black friends. I want you to think about this. There's about 40 million black people in America. Now, 10% of them would be 4 million. 400,000 would be 1% of them. Do you think there were 400,000 looters? No. You think there were 40,000? Probably not. Maybe, but probably not. Were you thinking there were 4,000 maybe across the entire country? We're getting in the ballpark. Let me just tell you something. 4,000 out of 40 million means that there are 99.99% of black people who were not looting. And I can guarantee you, they show, most people are against that. Most people are saying, I wish they wouldn't be doing that right now. You know, certainly there's some people saying, yeah, okay, that's fine. But it's just such a small percentage. So I want you to think about, the media has a powerful way of shaping us. But we got to think about what we're seeing on the media. Don't let it delude you into something that's not really going on. And third, don't believe everything you see in the media and in the internet. Get the whole story. Dig. The video of the woman calling the police on the bird watcher in Connecticut, in Central Park. Great example. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. Somebody called me up. He said, "Do you know the whole story on it?" I said, "I think so." And I told him what I had seen in the video, which has gone viral and millions of people have seen. He goes, "There's more to the story that you need to look at." And so I had to search for it, but I found it. I didn't see it on CNN interview. I didn't see it on The View interview. So I think you've got to go and search and see the whole story. And on these news accounts, you know, the whole story comes out over a period of time. So my point is this is, if you're going to debate something that's happening in the news or event that happened, take a few minutes to ask each other, well, what do you know about this particular? Make sure that the information you have is shared. Make sure you all have the same information. Then you can analyze it together. That's all I'm saying about this particular area. Make sure you have the same facts. So the third scripture I want to bring in is Psalm 82:3. Psalm 82:3 says, "Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed." We, as Christians, got to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. We have a moral obligation to our Savior Jesus Christ to stand up and make things that are wrong right. Now, at no time should we excuse or tolerate the mistreatment of others. At no time. When we were talking about the Me Too movement a couple years ago, I encouraged all of the men of the church not to engage in locker room talk. And instead, when you hear it, try to change people's values about women. Not to talk like that. And I think the same thing right now is when you see clearly racist talk and behavior where people are being hurt or demeaned, stand up. We don't have the As Christians, we can't let it go. We can't let it go. Now, I say that, but I want to talk about three issues related to that. Context, what, and how. We live in a real world. What do I mean by context? Number one, suppose a Puerto Rican man is with 8 white colleagues at work, and somebody says something. Now, you know, it sounds really good that he should step up and say what needs to be said at the time. But I think, you know, life is messy. Life is messy. It's not easy to do something like that. Maybe the more prudent thing is to wait till afterwards and talk to that person and engage them. You know, you have to make those decisions. I'm not going to tell you how to do things, but the Bible does say to talk to others one-on-one in private conversations to fix them. You know, sometimes you need to speak up in a group. But You know, life is messy. You can't always do the best thing. Sometimes the second best thing isn't even available to you. But you need to do something. So I want you to consider the context of where you are. The other question is, what actually is racist? Some things are clear. Some things are definitely right. If it's in the Bible, if the Word of God said we shouldn't be doing that or we should be doing this, and there's a violation there, that's clear. That's clear. But some things are not clear. Let me give you some examples of things that I've heard by some people being called racist. Tom Cotton wrote an article, "I think the military should have been called in." He got called a racist for that opinion. The very words law and order, some people think are racist. They're called the dog whistle. Calling people smashing windows and stealing, calling them looters, some people think that's racist. Just saying, "I support Trump for president," well, then you must be a racist just like him. When the media, this is an interesting one, when the media says it's okay for the violence because of all the blacks have had to endure, you know, there's some people that have said, well, wait a minute, that's racist. When you're excusing behavior that you wouldn't excuse for someone else because, well, you know, you have to take the context. You know, some people have said, well, that's racist. So, and even the word racist, the word racist, some people say, and you're going to hear this in academia a lot, is the only people that can be racist in America are white people, because racist is prejudice plus power. That people of color can't be racist. So even the term, there could be a disagreement over there. So why am I saying it? Is because we have to be careful about what we call racist, because it's in the eye of the beholder. So we could even about the behavior, it could be, there could be disagreement over there. Now, how do I call out bad behavior? So we talked about context, what, and how. Well, if someone is mistreating somebody right there and it's an ongoing thing, you need to stop it right there. There's no question about that. But if someone says something that's inappropriate and then moves on, the question is, you have to ask yourself, what's my goal in what I'm going to do now? What's my goal? Is my goal to get people who talk like that not to talk like that around me? Or is it to change hearts and minds? They're very different. Like, I could jump on you and then say, well, we're not going to talk like that around Frank. Is that what we want? They'll keep talking, just not around me. I don't think that's what we want. I think we want to, in my opinion, in what I'm trying to do, I want to change hearts and minds. I want a whole group of people to think, I want all of us to think differently about these issues. And so I think the only way that can happen is through ongoing conversations. They take time, they take effort, and quite frankly, they can be messy at times. The other thing I've found, and your experience might be different, but I think when you call someone a racist or say that's a racist, it's a conversation stopper. And I think this comes from the cancel culture that we've developed into. Once you've been called a racist or what you did was racist, you need to lose your job, death threats, you know. We just shut down conversation. So here's, in my opinion, here's some alternatives, and this is what I use. When you did or said blankety blank, it made me feel less than a human, I felt disrespected, I was hurt, whatever. People can't argue with that. What you said made them feel that way. And so you say that, and then the person's got to have to say something about it. You know, if they're a good person, and I hope everybody listening will say, well, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Can you explain to me why that, if it's not clear to you, ask the person, well, can you explain to me why? Now you got a conversation, a helpful conversation that's going to change hearts and minds, hopefully. Something else you could say is, how do you think what you just said made Sue over there feel? Now there's a question. They're going to have to respond to that question. You just asked the question. And I think now you can relate to those things and hope you have a chance to change hearts and minds. Or how do you think Jesus would feel about what you just did or said? Do you think he would agree? Again, there's a question, and now you can have a discussion. And so these things are messy. So I just, those are my thoughts about how to do it. But you got to decide, why am I doing what am I doing? What is my goal? You got to have that mindset before you leave the house in the morning. So that's my part of the conversation about how do we have conversations about race. Those are some of the things I would say that what we've taught about biblical communication, which I most of the application has been about family. Now let's do it about race. But I want you to know for sure, Jesus wants us to have these discussions. He almost commands us. That's what fellowship is. Again, fellowship is, hey, how about them Yangs? That's not fellowship. Fellowship is, hey, how are you doing? How is this all affecting you? That's fellowship. And he wants us, that's in the church. But outside the church, he doesn't want us sitting here and cursing the darkness. That's not what he wants. Jesus wants us to bring light to the darkness. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be walking out here with the truth of the gospel and applying it in every day. So he wants us to have conversations with people who are going to think a lot different than Christians do. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are, here's what I want to end with. I want to end with a story and make this point. Here's what I want. Push the ball down the field. Whatever you do, whatever chance you get, push the ball down the field. What do I mean by that? Now, one of the people I appreciate, I'm not a fan of, is Tom Brady. But one thing I appreciate about him is his patience. You know, for years, you know, there have been all kinds of ways to try and stop Brady and his great passing attack. And sometimes they, you know, the other team is going to blanket, so you're not going to get anything long. So you're not going to get the quick touchdown pass. You're not going to get the 50-yard or 30-yard or even 10 yards. But what this man does better than anyone I've ever seen is he'll dink you to death. He'll drive you crazy with 3- and 4-yard pass plays. And then you do that 3 times, and you got a first down. And then you do it again. And pretty soon, you got a touchdown. But he's always making forward progress. And so I want us to think about that. I want to give you a story of something that happened in the mid-80s. Probably, I was about 30 years old. It's around mid-80s. New manager. Different world. I was an engineer. I was in charge of tech support. And very few people of color, very few women in the engineering ranks at the time. Very few. It was starting to change in the 80s, but it was still pretty much predominantly a white male thing. So anyway, I had hired this great guy who was a great engineer, Ron Patterson. Great guy. And he was African American and did a great job. And the way we were set up, we gave our engineers parts of the country. So when our salesmen wanted technical support, they had somebody. So I was at a district meeting in New York State. Again, part of the New York State district had the Adirondacks. And we were having dinner after the meeting, and everybody in the district, there were about 7 or 8 of us around the table, the district manager, all his salespeople. And somehow in the course of the conversation, the following week, Ron was going to come out and help one of the salesmen at International Paper, Ticonderoga, New York. Now, if you've ever been in that area, there in the 80s, there's no blacks living there. It's a white area. So the salesman there, when he finds out that Ron is African-American, he said, I can't believe they're sending me a, and he said a horrible racial epithet. And everybody at the table is like, this is 1985-ish. And everybody at the table, all white, were reporting, you know, So I broke the ice and I said, Ron's a great guy and he's a great engineer. He's going to do a good job for you. And the district manager said, yes, I know Ron. I've worked with him. He's good. He'll do a good job for you. And then, you know, there was a little bit of muttering by the guy, but, you know, and then we went on. And so that after dinner, the district manager drove me back to the hotel and I go, Paul, Ron is the coordinator. And, you know, if he doesn't want Ron to come, then he's going to do it on his own. And and the district manager said, hey, I'll take care of it. It's going to be fine. And so I had to make a decision. Do I tell Ron about this? And I decided not to tell Ron. Why put even more pressure on him? Maybe it was right, maybe it was wrong. That was my decision at the time. So Ron goes out there, he comes back, and I meet with him the day he gets back, and I go, hey, how did things go? And he said, good, good. You know, we talked about this, and the customer agreed to do this. They're going to do this for the next month, and I'm going to go back in a month, and we're going to work on this. You're going back. Good. And I said, how'd you like working with, you know, and I mentioned the salesman name. He said, fine. You did fine. I said, good. And I just left it at that. And they worked together for months. Now, why do I tell you that story? It's not that I did everything right. I can look back and regret on some of the things that I did or didn't do. But you know what? The thing I can say is we moved the ball down the field a bit. I think that salesman's mind was changed to some degree. I think Ron was the reason his mind got changed. So it was a coalition working together, just moving the ball down the field. Maybe we could have went farther or did more, but this is what we did. And I'm not saying I did everything right. And you might say, hey, well, what if the district manager said, we don't want him to come? I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I would have stood my ground. I don't know that for sure, where I was at the time. So again, I am not saying that I did this perfectly, but I'm just saying the three of us working together moved the ball down the field, and God, I think, was pleased. And so what I want to do is end with encouragement for you. Do something. Do something. Take the 3 yards that they'll give you and move the ball down the field. And you know what? God is with you that whole time. Jesus wants you to do something, and he's going to bless you for it. Yeah, maybe afterwards you could say, oh, I wish I would have done this, that, and the other thing. That's okay. The next time, do it better. But move the ball down the field. Let's pray. Lord, this is a messy world we live in, and you said that we were going to have trouble, but you also said you've overcome the world, so we're going to just rely on you to help us. Lord, we are your agents, not secret agents, but agents, Lord, for racial reconciliation. No matter what color we are, Lord, we're here to help you. And you, I know, want us to do this, and you will bless us. So God, I just pray that you give everyone today a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit with a little bit extra courage thrown in there today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I have to tell you, my eyes kind of bugged out of my head. I was pretty shook when Pastor said, I'm white. So take that for whatever you want to take it for. I thought he was Italian. What a wonderful message. And what I have to say about that is that the conversation continues. And let us as believers not run away from these hard conversations, because we need to have them. Because the way we're going to draw others to Christ, lead others to Christ, is by having these conversations and having them in a way that is loving. And like Pastor said, we got two ears. And, you know, if you're a person who's deaf, you have ways to listen through your hands, through expressions. But we need to be listening. We need to be understanding.
But as believers, let me tell you, we all know we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. So let us, before we have these conversations, let's call on the Holy Spirit to show us and to guide us in these conversations. And I'm telling you, talking about kicking, whatever that football phrase was about, you could tell I do not watch football.
Move the ball down the field.
Start with the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So let's bow our heads, lift up our hearts as we close this time of worship. Wonderful Savior, blessed Redeemer, you are the perfect communicator. You are the light of the world. And Lord God, during these times that are so difficult for everyone, help us as believers to look to you for guidance, for strength, for direction. Almighty God, help us to have the same ears that you had when you walked on this earth, the compassion that you showed to others, dear Lord. I pray, blessed Redeemer, that you would help us to get through these times. And we know and we trust and we believe in you that you will bring us through these hard times. And Lord God, I pray that many souls will be won for your kingdom, that many will be added to the church. Because we know, dear God, as we look through your word and we look through things that happened in times past, when they were difficult times for the church, dear Lord, times where people were martyred for your name's sake, and we know it's happening in other countries, but you brought, many were brought to you. And so, Lord God, let the church be the church we're praying in these last days, in these days that we're in that are so troubled. We want to be the light, not hidden under a bushel or a basket, but you call us to be lights and also to be disciple makers. And Lord, as we carry on the rest of our day today, I pray that you would be with us as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And I ask this all in the precious name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you for joining us today.
Next post is musical worship.
Oh, yes. Let me not forget. While I'm home, I just do it naturally. Don't forget, musical worship. Stay tuned. Look at the next post. Let's just worship, continue to worship God in song. And then Children's Church at 11 o'clock. Be well.